Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cheese and pickle. I don't know. It's a very emotional week. Lots of emotion. I will cry unless I'm allowed to go to Blackpool.
Okay, well, if I say you can go to Blackpool, can we just do the podcast?
Yeah! Okay, go to Blackpool. Everyone wants to go to Blackpool. Blackpool's...
It's a magical place.
It is. It's not even real Blackpool anymore, is it? It's mythical Blackpool.
They've got donkeys.
That was it. It's enough.
Those hats with funny writing on, rock and candy floss, which are both disgusting.
And a tower.
And really shit nightclubs.
Sounds great. I mean, it sounds like a place where dreams can come true. Anyway, I'll stop crying now because we're going to Blackpool.
And also, you can stop crying and tell the ladies and gentlemen, Joel, what you were doing this week that's going to make us all sick with jealousy.
I went to what I thought was a work do with a friend, and we went in anoraks and jeans. Yeah. And it was a BBC do, and I thought, no one's made a fuss about it, it won't be anything. And it turned up, and it was this massive David Niven-style party where everyone was someone you knew off the telly. It was and it was really, really nice. It was weirdly to say this about BBC. They threw a really good bash. It was part of their 100th birthday thing. They got a bunch of people together. I think people who are making stuff at the moment.
Don't
or
tell
something.
The Daily Mail. They had a small celebration. It's only 100 years of the BBC,
yes,
for goodness
they
sake.
Had a small works bash. Yeah. And it was really nice. It was very chilled and very weird. Everyone was in little clumps, like people are at parties, of going, I don't know anyone. I don't know. It's just me. Even if it was Doctor Who, she was in a corner going, I don't know anyone. It's just me.
Now, that's all very nice, but can you just cut to the chase and tell us the physical experience you had at this party?
Who was there? And I was too starstruck to go and talk to. Were loads of Strictly people. Yeah. So there were contestants. Ellie Simmons was there, and Fleur, and lots of nice, yay, people like that. James Bligh. Lots of people I recognised off the telly. Went, oh my god, it's the Strictly people! And I was completely starstruck and went against the wall and was all shy and talked to three people I knew. And then luckily, I ran into a lovely drunk Scottish friend who was wanting to go and speak to everybody. And when I went to find her later on, she was chatting to the Strictly dancers. She was talking to Nikita.
Oh my god!
So I wandered over and said hello awkwardly to Nikita, and then behind Nikita was standing Jeanette Manrara.
Strictly legend of dreams.
Pocket rocket Jeanette Manrara. And I just thought, I can't not say thank you for getting us through the lockdown and all the lovely things she's done, because I'm really enjoying It Takes Two and things. So I just said to her, thank you, by the way, you're brilliant. And then she turned out to be completely lovely.
And then what did she do?
Because I was nice to her, she grabbed me and she gave me a kiss.
I got a kiss by Manrara.
I got a kiss and a hug from Manrara, and we had a really lovely chat about what it was like working on Strictly and how happy she is to be doing It Takes Two and what a lovely team it is. And I just said, thanks for getting the nation through. I said they were like Force's Sweethearts or sort of Ensa. They'd come out to entertain us when we were all a bit traumatised.
It's true. It's very appropriate with all the military people sitting in the audience this week for Remembrance Sunday.
All linked up.
I'd like to warn you now, if you hear a strange noise, it's because Joel, all of this week, has been resorting to the phrase, please say it now.
As I was saying to my very good friend, Jeanette Manrara. Oh, the Jeanette Manrara whistle.
And you're going to hear that sound alert every time Joel says,
what, when I was talking to my very good friend, Jeanette Manrara? Yes!
So just so you know, that's what it is. There hasn't been a disturbance in the force.
She's okay. Really nice.
I'm just jealous.
Ask me who.
I want to cuddle her.
Ask me who's really nice.
Who's really nice?
My very good friend, Jeanette Manrara.
This is going to get quite tiresome, isn't it?
She's also about 1 foot tall.
The tiniest woman ever invented.
I should be photocopied.
So let's get to the dancing this week. As we were reminded by Claudia in the intro, it's been 3 long years since Strictly Juggernaut got to pack up and go all the way to Blackpool. obviously for pandemic reasons and stuff. So if there wasn't enough at stake in a normal year where they're going to Blackpool, yeah. this year it's like, it's the first time in 3 years. Blackpool is covered in cobwebs.
It might not even be there.
No, exactly.
It might just be a hole, a crater.
There are like weeds. It's like Sleeping Beauty. There's the weeds growing over Blackpool. They have to hack them back. I'm thinking Graziano dresses a prince with a big sword.
Yes, he's going to go in there. There's going to be a dragon. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah,
I can't wait.
Is Blackpool even there?
Yes, it is. So beginning, starting the show, it's Ellie and Johannes doing their Charleston to Friendship, which I noticed delightedly. They do mean the Bernard Cribbins version.
Oh, good.
It has to be the Cribbins version. God bless Bernard Cribbins. Oh, R.I.P. So they started off. It's a nice, really nice, uplifting, lighthearted way to start off what's going to turn out to be a complete like blub fest from start to finish.
Yeah, it set the wrong mood.
I was a husk.
It set the mood of going, oh, this is going to be fun. This is. I mean, I was excited about this. Nice to see them opening the show.
Very much so.
Especially, and also, it's interesting they chose Friendship because that was, we've been talking about this, and saying, what is their journey? What is their journey?
Yes.
And their journey has been towards them being the ones who are friends and their friendship and the fact that they're both really, really enjoying each other's company. It was perfect. It's her dance.
It was absolutely ideal. It was about the cutest Charleston I think I've ever seen on that show. They were kind of, they were being ducks at one stage. The jokes
were really good.
Yes, unbelievably charming, really, really funny. They had adopted, they said, these characters in rehearsals, Cece and Athanasius. So I don't think it's even a name, but I love that that's the one he picked for himself.
It was a beautiful little glimpse into how their brains work. It was like sort of doing a word association. Quickly, say the first thing that comes into your head.
Yes.
Cece, right, that's you. Athanasius. Right, lovely.
Just simply gorgeous. The whole thing was a delight from start to finish. I thought the sort of it wasn't low key, like there were tricks and acrobatics and stuff, but it wasn't one of the most kind of crazy gyratory Charlestons we've seen. But it was just really, really well performed, really charming. And I agreed.
It was very rooted, wasn't it? It was very, very sort of, it was exactly what you want from a Charleston, and particularly I think what you want from a Charleston from a goofy comedian.
A brilliant comedian, yeah. whose physical comedy is absolutely her thing. I really agree with Anton. I was thinking it too. Musical theatre star. It felt like watching a number from a show.
Yes.
Very much in the way that their Halloween routine did, the Hocus Pocus one. I felt like I want to see the rest of this show. What are they going to do next?
Well, you say to Ellie.
Which is a great sign, I think.
I think you're right. Ellie is an amazing physical comedian, but I've always thought she's a stand-up.
Yeah.
And I think how she thinks of herself. She came out and said, oh, I'm gawky, I don't know what my limbs are doing at the beginning. I don't think she knows she's a physical comedian.
No.
She's found out she's a physical comedian. She's always been a verbal comedian who stood on stage, looked very, very glamorous, but it's been to do with how she delivers things.
I think that's right. I think maybe I thought of her as a physical comedian because she defies her own kind of packaging.
Yeah.
In that when she comes on stage, she doesn't act or stand or hold herself like someone who looks like Ellie looks like. And I think they were saying to her, who was saying, someone said it to her this week, you have no idea, do you, how beautiful
JoJo
you
said
are.
That.
That's right.
He said, you don't know how beautiful you are. And I think it's incredibly charming. I mean, that's always charming. That's
because I think it's really genuine. She doesn't have an effing clue that she looks like a model.
That's the key to what's funny about Tina Fey or someone like that. They don't act like they know they've got this package and it's really charming. It makes her really likable. I think it's genuine. There's
so
no fraudulence
likeable.
About it. And it's the perfect dance to show that off. I want to say, by the way, when people are really frightened about using props, the prop work, the hat work, the coat work.
Oh, no, the jacket stuff would have made me so anxious.
That was like a lift in terms of you gasped as it happened.
Minute she had to like wear the same jacket as him at the same time and then pass it through her legs, it's like, oh God, the stress. I would have been just absolutely rigid with terror having to perform that.
I voted for her. I voted for her because she went at the beginning and I thought this was a great routine and I didn't want to see her risk the dance off because I didn't want to, you know, a little bit like Ellie last week, I didn't want to see someone go out on their signature routine.
No, absolutely
on
not.
Other Ellie, I mean, to do the routine, you go, oh, you're born to do this and then to go out.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this was so her thing.
Oh, and also, yes, I'm underscored by Craig, I thought. All the judges kind of agreed after a bit of a dip last week, they didn't love her rumba. This week, they were kind of like, oh, welcome back and really good and you're back in the running. And Motsi said she owned it and Shirley said it was really synchronised and she had lovely swivel. But then Craig gave her a 7. Everyone else 8s. But Craig a 7. I just feel like it's unnecessary. Like he said, you know, it could have been slightly bigger or slightly sharper. You know, that big cartoony thing that we know Craig likes it big, like big or go home, basically, with Craig.
Panto King.
It's everything's so overblown. And on screen, especially, I'm sure on Pantos, it looks amazing, but it's so huge, his kind of performance style. Yeah. I get that, it could have been like another 5% bigger. But 7 is not a reflection of that performance. She was really good.
He seems to be really keen. Craig, I really like Craig. I think he's doing a job.
Oh, he does. He's the grit in the oyster. We need Craig in this show.
His job is to make sure it doesn't go 10, 10, 10, 10 on week 6.
Yeah, it can't just be like a wall of sycophancy when they've, you know, brought up their dead relative.
Because they've all tried hard. And yeah. So I think Craig's always sort of saying, look, hang on, if your dancing is 7 out of 10, don't forget, 7 out of 10, 70% gets you an A in an exam. 7 out of 10
I love that you still know that.
I remember that. 7 out of 10 is an A on an essay. But 7 out of 10 is succeeding. It's what you look
for.
I know,
but so they're all succeeding now. That's the point.
Yeah, but the whole point is he's got to be there to make the judging panel not be a complete farce.
Yeah,
so
I
understand
so.
Why. I think maybe in Craig's world, that was a 7 out of 10 dance, but I loved it.
Me too. Well done, and quack, quack. Okay, next we have to make another nod to the terms and conditions. This week, presented by Big Zoo. Big Zoo's Big Eats.
From 64 Zoo Lane.
that's the one. Yeah. 64 Big Zoo Lane. Yeah. And I thought he was charming and delightful.
It was very good.
And understood the remit that you come on and it's not your show, but you get like a minute of it to just like make an impression.
Yeah.
And he really did. He did it with like pizzazz and verve, and he did a spin and a bit of choreography. And
yeah.
And Claudia was like, oh, can we sign you up for next year? It was the perfect Strictly cameo. I liked it
exactly.
A lot.
Him and Alison Hammond have aced this year, as in bringing themselves to it. And also it made Gorka do street moves behind him, which was funny.
Top of the class. Well done, Big Zoo. Then came Tyler and Diane, who did their Paso Doble to a song I've never heard of because it was of trad and
instrumental bit of heavy metal.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Big shout out to the guy on the Les Paul gold top in the background. I liked that. I said, well, it was a Sunburst Les Paul, actually.
That's a kind of guitar for people who are going, what is he talking about?
I did that
about?
Thing where I was watching the gear for a bit and I didn't watch the dancing, but it was a chance for someone to... Dave Archer's band loves to do a riff, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
He was grinding away there. It was good.
Enjoying himself immensely. Joel, your whole body is a banana.
Oh, yeah.
Has that helped with your posture? I notice you're still hunching.
It's the kind of thing that Jeanette Manrara, my very good friend, might say to me.
We had to crack out one of those sooner or later. But yes, I find it incredibly useful. I love seeing those bits in training because then when I was watching Tyler dancing, I was thinking, your whole body is a banana.
Banana.
And when Molly was dancing later, I was thinking, walk like a cat, walk like a cat.
Yeah.
It's brilliant to get inside the mind of the training and what they're trying to carry from rehearsal room to dance floor.
Are they achieving something beyond entertaining me? Because
exactly.
I think as a viewer, and also when you get to vote and you get to text in your votes or whatever, you're sort of saying, oh, well, are you not entertained? The gladiatorial bit of it. I'm going to have a nice time. Whereas actually it's really nice to see, and are they satisfying their teachers?
Yes.
Are they satisfying? The teacher's looking for something different than the audience is sometimes, and it's nice
often
to know what it is.
In this show, exactly. But on that note, we were entertained, but clearly not enough because he literally got both his nipples out and ended up in the dance-off. Well, if the dance-off had actually gone ahead.
Yeah, it was a surprise. It was mainly, as our child noted, it's mainly nipple grabbing. It was a nipple grabbing exercise. It did look, it was very intense and very, he was like stripped off. And I wrote down, it looked like a cutscene from God of War. Like an advert for a video game where like, there's this impossibly beautiful man.
Yeah.
And it's going, dum, 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 that kind of music that video games have in their trailers.
Yeah.
And he was all stripped. And he looked like, it looked like CGI. I mean, they looked spectacular.
Maybe it was.
CGI nipples.
So they didn't do as much this week, so maybe they did his nipples.
They said, you've got two choices. We can do alligators or a man's nipples. But it was quite nipple heavy.
It was nipple heavy. There was fire behind. It was quite sort of, you know, it was quite full on. He said he felt like a guy in an action film, like Jason Statham was about to swing in and start a fight with him. It was very dynamic, but also quite sort of like, oh gosh, oh golly. And, you know, Shirley was pretty much on her feet from the first step he danced.
He was pushing the adjudicator friendliness.
He
had his shopping list written on his right tit. That was nice. I liked it. I thought it was a haiku, a poem. There was a young man from Bengal. I don't know. It was certainly about 5 lines of something written on him, which I couldn't see, even on HD.
Go on now. I know all you want to think about is his nipples, but what did you think of his dancing?
Can't remember his dancing. I remember it was really, really intense, and it's a little bit hard to tell because it was so overdramatic and stagey. I think one of the judges said it lacked a bit of fluidity. It was like posy. I think Craig might have said that.
Yeah.
And it did feel that, and obviously he is a spectacular dancer.
He is.
But I did feel it was a series of action poses, which is what he said.
Yeah. I think, well, I don't know. Yeah. So Craig said he's always looking out for the Spanish line in this dance, and he said he didn't get it.
Yeah.
And there was some disagreement about that. Anton said it was powerful. He liked it. And Motsi said it was impressive, the atmosphere they created. And then sort of gave them some technical hints about stretching from the core and reaching further and making more of those shapes. So basically more banana. But then by then, Shirley had been on her feet for like an hour, kind of going, yeah, it's amazing. And then she heard everyone else being slightly less positive.
Shirley had
it.
Been to see Magic Mike, and everyone else has said, what's the story? Is there a plot in Magic Mike? She went, I don't care. Had a brilliant night out, full of Prosecco.
But then she kind of had to, I mean, obviously, she's still a technician. She's still going with the technical, but she was slightly swept off her feet by it all, or onto her feet. And then she kind of had to justify, you know, having seen perhaps something slightly different to the rest of them. And she said, it was a striking entrance. Yes, I know. It was very striking.
Had his top off, didn't he?
That's definitely a way of describing how he looked. He looked effing gorgeous. Let's not beat around the bush here. She said, you know, he had a command. There were exquisite twists and turns, but perhaps more twisting and turning was needed. She struggled to find anything wrong with it because she was blinded by the nips.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you, girl. They were brilliant.
That's why she couldn't sit down. She just slid off.
Yeah.
Absolute disgrace. Her stool was a mess.
Joel.
I'm sorry.
There are children. I hope there aren't children listening. Jesus Christ.
The nipple grabbing that's going on for a start.
It's bad enough that our child had to watch the show with you in the first place. Shirley also made the point of saying Diane's name. She paused before saying it and then said Diane, because last week the week before she called her Diana.
Oh, right.
And apparently Twitter went absolutely mad at her, like she was doing it as some kind of diss or something. And then Diane had to go on Strictly It Takes Two and say, honestly, guys, can you call off the hand? It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Strictly It Takes Two, presented by my very good friend Jeanette Manrara. That show.
That's the one.
There's a man on it as
back
well.
Back to the dancing. Tyler and Diane, with their pasodoble, scored an 8 from Motsi, an 8 from Shirley, a 9 from Anton, and a 6 from Craig. I felt that was unfair.
Yes, actually, that one, I thought, don't give him the Tony Adams scores. He didn't deserve that. He is way clear of that. I mean, he's very, very good. I must admit, my thing for this is I can barely remember it because of the staging. And I think that one of the things, the reasons he may have ended up being forgotten by the public is actually the staging was so elaborate, I forgot the dance.
Yes, I know what you mean. It was a bit too much of the smoke and mirrors, basically.
You can't
it?
Give me a flaming diamond, sunburst Les Paul and all those nipples and make me try and remember what you did with your feet. I can't do it.
And as it turns out, nipples don't equal votes. Who knew?
No, who knew? In this case, points very much don't mean prizes.
And now we move on to Kim and Graziano, who did their American Smooth to Chasing Cars by
the Snow Patrols.
By the Snow Patrol, but it wasn't the Snow Patrol version. Apparently it was some kind of, like, you'd hear it in a shopping centre, like, instrumental version, slowed down a bit.
Take the hard edges off. Snow Patrol quite alternative for
I don't care if it's not cool.
Cool Scottish indie band, aren't they?
They were Scottish. They're bloody brilliant.
Lots of time for Snow Patrol.
Anyway, this is where the kind of the emotional tension, I believe, began to ramp up. So it was the first kind of VT where someone was talking about something incredibly painful that had happened to them. Kim had a baby, Archie, who was born prematurely, and he only lived a very short while. And clearly, you know, this is something that the song was linked to her memories of being
with that period of time or whatever,
being in that situation. So it's incredibly emotional, incredibly painful story. And then she did this very beautiful, very sort of tender dance. But obviously they were lifting it as well. American Smooth is a sort of a strange thing because you're at one point watching a very kind of pure ballroom dance, but then there's got to be these moments of kind of showboating and emotional release and impact as well. So it was not uncomfortable to put those two things together, but it was like she talked about her desperately sad time in her life, and then it was like CGI Starfield.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so it's a slight kind of gear change.
Yes,
again,
showbiz seemed sort of, I don't know, it's one of the moments we should talk about this week, because they were engaging emotions for various reasons, because I think they are feeling emotional at this point.
Oh,
there's
it's
a lot
very
of pressure.
Emotional now.
They've committed a lot to it, so I think it's genuine. But also you're pulling out stuff saying, please don't send me home before Blackpool, because that feels like an important...
Yeah.
So I say, right, pull out all the stops, say why this is important for you to prove yourself or to do a dance for someone.
Yeah.
That you never thought you could do. But I think this is the point at which that emotional engagement, sometimes showbiz isn't enough to express that. And the thing she was talking about is so raw and real. And we know people who've been through that.
Yeah.
it felt like to express that through an American smooth, we went, oh, actually, sometimes what you need to do is the Rite of Spring or some enormous, like, sort of modern, like thumping ballet. To do something that is about control.
Yeah.
Feels like the wrong thing when what you want to do is just, it's just sob. And I thought,
you want to do like a couple's choice with a wafty chiffon skirt on. Yeah. That's what's normally the way of these.
A Rose and Giovanni thing where you can express something.
Yeah, exactly.
The point with ballroom is it's about holding in and disciplining your emotions. And they were talking about real emotions. I'm expressing this quite badly, but
no.
Like I made a note of saying, I think the emotional engagement with this song worked against it in that I was either expecting something where I was absolutely in floods of tears.
You got to unlock your own.
And I couldn't because I was watching them be disciplined. And weirdly, you could see her suffering from realizing what this meant, and I think it's why she fluffed the lift.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was all a bit of too much pressure on the night, and too much pressure on, well, this dance means this, so you better get your heel turns right. It's like, oh god, hang on.
You do wonder what happens if someone says, this is for my dead dad, then you fall over and fall on your face,
like, really seriously.
It's live television,
and that comes up again later in the episode. It's just, oh god, what if you cock it up? Does that mean you didn't love them?
Exactly.
It's like, no, of course
it did feel she had too much baggage on her shoulders. And when she did that really simple thing, which they explained afterwards, I just went, oh, she's fluffed the lift, and she'd offered the wrong foot.
Yeah, literally the wrong leg.
How much is on your mind if you're thinking about the technical stuff,
oh,
the
gosh,
audience, and then someone says, and this is to represent an emotion you may have stored up or struggled with. That is so much on their shoulders.
But that said, it was a beautiful routine, really, really beautiful. Anton mentioned, again, we're talking about technicalities when we've just heard this incredible story, but she, going backwards in hold now, he said she's perfect, she just needs to do it going forwards in hold. Shirley said she had an amazing connection with the dance and with the story and everything. And she picked up really well after the tiny little mistake. And Anton really loved her heel turns. It was simple and gorgeous. I really loved the routine.
Yeah.
But yes, I felt a slight, oh gosh, too much pressure on poor Kim. And I, you know, her scores, I don't think, reflected how good it was. Conversely, Craig gave her an 8 and Motsi only gave her a 7, which I was quite surprised about. And then 8s from Shirley and Anton.
I got the feeling that Motsi's one...
she was really upset.
I got the feeling that Motsi's one was just to reflect there had been a fluff. And everyone was saying, oh, you recovered
completely
from the fluff. But I think when someone
does
a fluff...
3 points off for a fluff.
It's not... For me, I never look at it as 3 points off 10.
No,
I go, if she was about to give her 8 and she offered the wrong foot, you go, well, you have to knock a point off for making a fluff,
so,
I think.
Yeah.
And it made her look a bit meaner than probably she is.
I know, exactly. I know she's not mean. She's brilliant. Kim was really, really, like, fully upset.
Yeah.
I think she thought she'd cocked up Graziano's chances of going to Blackpool, and I don't think he's been before. Is that right? He hasn't taken a partner to
you
Blackpool.
You forget that about some of these. Some of these dancers are foreign. They don't know what Blackpool's like. They might think, but
oh,
like, they
Jesus,
talk about it.
Wait till he sees Blackpool.
It's like Venice. Yeah, it's a bit like Venice. It's good.
It's exactly like Venice. Yeah. You know, Monte Carlo.
Yes. The Grand Canyon. Victoria Falls. It's well worth seeing Blackpool. They're going to get there and go, Blackpool?
What, seriously? This is a Blackpool.
This shithole, it's going to be awful. Blackpool's lovely, brilliant, don't they? But
we're being rotten. It's not the dream palace.
It is really weird watching a load of people who are not born in England talk about a seaside, an English seaside town as if it is the Emerald City. But there you go.
But
that's
it is
part
to
of
them.
The fun.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so I loved that dance, but it put her in that kind of 31, 32 danger zone where a lot of people were clustered this week. And obviously, I feared greatly. And I just really hoped that you wouldn't have to, with all of that emotional baggage, have to haul it back out on the dance floor a second time. Luckily, that didn't happen. So now we move on to Sassy Helen and Gorka, who salsaed to Despacito. The minute that tune was announced, our child, who's obviously seen an awful lot more TikTok and YouTube than we have, was like, oh God, no, please, no, not that song. No! Because apparently that's the reaction most people have to it now, because it's just ubiquitous.
It's really funny the way that overexposure changes. That generation have got millions and millions of Bryan Adamses, things they've been massively overexposed to. They go, oh, this again. It's great.
Exactly. But, you know, apparently it's one of Gorka's favourite songs. And he planned this incredible routine, including, I don't know if the lift actually really came off or not. I mean, it's easy for me to say that. She's this tiny little woman. He did throw her in the air a bit, but maybe she didn't quite inject enough luft into it right at the uppermost part of it to actually fly. Because he did say, are you ready to fly? When he was kind of training her and saying, this is going to be, you know, a spectacular one. I really love this routine. Most of all, I loved, and Shirley spotted it too, the attitude that she strutted out onto the dance floor with. She looked, as usual, unbelievable. And she came out as a kind of sassy, pink lady, kind of like, yeah, what? And just sort of did it. And I just think I really can see the confidence we've been desperately wanting to see in her the last couple of weeks, at least.
There was
it's
a total,
like, there she is, there she is. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
There was a total continuation. This was the same character who she'd been in that black and white outfit last week.
Yeah.
And it was, I found that really exciting. She came out and there was a brilliant thing where there's all these lifts and splits and all this sort of stuff.
I mean, crazy.
Loads
stuff.
Of content things. And the thing you came away from remembering from that was her on her own walking across the dance floor at the beginning.
Yeah.
That strut is what I remembered. And I went, oh, it's you.
Do you know, she reminded me of a kind of like Latino pocket rocket, kind of like
It was a kind of a Jeanette Manrara thing. Like my friend Jeanette Manrara would say, that's something you can't fake. You've
admittedly,
got it, you
that one was a setup, but I couldn't resist.
I didn't even see that coming. I just had an urge to talk about my very good friend Jeanette Manrara.
Oh God, I'm getting tired. My arm's getting tired.
pull the plug out of the Swanee. Worn out, it's been eroded.
And do you know, this really sweet thing is this is the promotional Swanee whistle handed out when they relaunched the clangers
it's
on
a
CBBC.
Real clanger
CBBBs
one.
Rather. Yeah, no, it's completely delightful.
100 years of the BBC, everyone.
Hooray!
That was an event at which I met the dancer Jeanette Manrara, you know.
So you didn't say the magic phrase.
She's more than a good friend now. She remains my very good friend, Jeanette Manrara. It's caught fire! It's on fire! Helen was great.
Back to Helen and Gorka. Absolutely, she was really, really good. Motsy said, "This girl means business," in a way that only Motsy can say it. I'm sorry, I said it because it doesn't sound quite right coming from me. She said her solo stuff in particular was fantastic. Her stuff in Hold was ever so slightly, weirdly less confident, although I think they're really picking at tiny details now. But out of Hold now, she's so kind of in Miss Independence and can kind of do it that maybe some of the technique is slightly lost when she's back in Hold.
I really don't want a final without her. I think.
Oh no, me either. I would be devastated.
In terms of you're watching your journey of someone who can just do it but couldn't do it and has got a really good story, and she's fantastic to watch. And this character, the woman who was last week and this week, I want to hear.
Oh my God, me too. What a story. Shirley said she needs to work on her spotting, which is that thing which I did when I did ballet for 3 minutes when I was eight.
Yeah.
You know, where you have to look at a point on the wall, and when you're doing a pivot, you have to kind of snap your head back round before the rest of you gets to it
it's
again.
It's like the opposite of being an owl.
Really hard to do, but apparently, and she was saying, tiny thing, start working on that now because you'll really look like a proper dancer then. Anton says, you're coming on, as my old teacher used to say, and he loved it. And Craig said the same thing, I guess, that her neck and head were the only real problem. Sometimes it seems like she's dancing in a neck brace, which sounded overtly harsh. But actually, he said he loved it and it's all she needs to work on. Yeah. Everything else is she got all eights apparently as well. Her character for the dance, because we're saying, you know, she's really having to play a character to find that confidence. Elena from Colombia, that's who she was this week. And I thought Elena did a bloody top-notch job. Loved it. And now we come to, well, the dance they'll all be talking about now is Tony and Katya's jive to Land of a Thousand Dances. And as we now know, the dance that saw him off, if not in terms of the vote, although it did leave him in the bottom two for the first time, which I was surprised about because he gave it absolutely.
I thought this was enough to get the public on side. I thought it was an absolute killer public. Katya had designed, once again, a public pleasing, exactly what you want from Tony dance.
I know, exactly. But I don't know. I was surprised the British public actually kind of did the decent thing, as it were, and stopped picking up the phone for him, because genuinely this is the week I almost thought, sod it, he's really trying.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't actually, but I almost thought
they gave him a dance that was mainly kicking.
Yeah.
As in, like, a thing that he can definitely do.
I know, but apparently though he wasn't retracting. Also, those roly-polies, I mean, that's for someone who's not a dancer and of his age, that was kind of impressive. Have you tried doing a roly-poly as a grown-up?
No, I can't do
that. It's absolutely awful. It makes you feel like you're going to die.
He did it without vomiting is an amazing achievement. But I think this was the dance you kind of wanted almost for week one, like the ultimate Tony Adams dance. It had some. It was funny. It was witty. He was doing his best. He gave it his all. It had his character in it really well. It was a beautiful bit of choreography. He started up and I went, oh shit, he's going to Blackpool. He's completely going to Blackpool.
Yeah, I was so convinced.
And then at the end of it, he looked so knackered. Our kid said a brilliant thing. He said, Tony doesn't want to go to Blackpool. Tony wants to go to bed. And I think, weirdly, very prescient. I think it had a sense of going, last week I was saying, oh, this might be the end of his journey. This one, it was a one extra dance I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But he did look like, I am absolutely at the end of what I can do.
But it's almost like they were trying to finish him off with the most physically demanding dance
just
he's ever done.
Kill him.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I think it's so unbelievably grueling, the jive, unless your stamina is that of a young and bendy sports person. It's just not doable.
But weirdly, I mean, I had it on my list of going, are they running out of wacky dances for him to do? As in, at some point where he was going to have to do an Argentine tango or a Viennese waltz and it would look terrible.
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
So yes, it was a way of going, okay, we've had the wacky, the comedy dances. We are going to run out of those in a minute. And at the beginning, when they came down the stairs and they were dressed up and he was in blue and she was in red with white stripes, I thought, they're going to do it in football kit.
I thought
pulled out like the last thing they could do. Is go, he should do a kicking dance. It's going to be all about football.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure, they'd done that one already. But it did feel like, oh, you've run out of things you can do. But the rock and roll thing was really nicely done.
No, they would have been entirely within their remit to stick him on the bedroom wall as in a football poster.
Yeah.
And I like that they just went for a proper character in a dance.
I think in a way it's the end of what you can do with the character Tony.
That's it. You're right. They were running out of ideas, and even Catcher, who's like endlessly creative with choreography and stuff, like, I wonder how she'd have kept that whole bandwagon rolling for another couple of weeks.
I don't want to see his Couples Choice Street Dance. I don't want to see his Viennese Waltz. I've seen Tony's dances, and actually, to be honest, being sort of against, I'm always against how late the comedy people stay
in. Yeah, I know.
A little bit, which is grumpy of me, because there's plenty of good dancers. But we all said this has gone beyond a joke, but this was actually, I really enjoyed watching it. I'm glad I don't have to watch any more.
Yes, I think it poetically it all came out exactly how it needed to come out in the wash. We'll talk about the dance off that never was and how this all finished. But yeah, long story short, I am glad he's gone, but not in a nasty way.
Yes, as in I think as well. Lovely contestant, and this was a perfect demonstration of what he and Catcher could do.
Yeah, and it was summed up really well as he was leaving. You always suddenly like them when they're going. But it was summed up really well on his leaving. We'll come to that later. The judges' scores then, Craig a 4, you know, that's when your, I think, final score is like 24 and everyone else is up in the mid-30s. It's just, you're the only ones on those scores.
Yeah.
It's obviously time to go. Yeah, so Craig 4, Motsy 6, and then Shirley and Anton, a very generous 7 apiece. He really didn't miss a foot, a bit of footwork. He did look like he was absolutely keeping up with her, but it doesn't look good. His dancing does not look good or easy or comfortable. But my God, 10 out of 10 for effort.
Yeah, and also, as always, a good demonstration of this is hard. It's quite nice to leave someone there for a while who goes, if everyone suddenly gets effortlessly brilliant, if you've got like 10 Hamzas, there's no fun in the show. You need someone there who says, I am not physically designed for this. This is what it would look like if you tried this.
Oh, for sure. Some of the things I complain about, I realise, are essential ingredients in the Strictly experience. Yeah. Craig has to be overtly mean sometimes. Someone has to remind you how hard it is.
Yeah.
Someone has to make a mistake. So, you know, you need all of this grit to get the lovely, lovely oysters. But yeah, absolutely. Ceiling reached, head banged repeatedly. Time to go.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, now we move on to, oh, loved this dance, Molly and Carlos. So they did a rumba to You're
Whitney.
All the Man I Need, isn't
by the
it?
Whitney, isn't it?
Yeah, by Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, Walk Like a Cat. And I thought Anton absolutely hit the nail on the head when he said, and it's a really hard thing to ask an incredibly young woman to do, but she suddenly found a maturity.
Yes.
And I think that's what I liked about her whatever it was, that sweet charity-ish number she did with the kind of 20s
kind
of curly bob and the, you know, the incredible glitzy outfit, about sort of week, two or three weeks in, there was a maturity. She seemed suddenly this very, rather than just sort of like smiling and girlish and sweet and appealing, she suddenly changed character and appeared to be really in command of herself. And I think she wowed the audience, the judges, everyone at home. I just think she really hit the nail on the head with this one.
Because there are two things you're asking people to do with this. When you watch Ellie's Charleston at the beginning of this, you go, well, that's completely in character. That's what I hoped you'd do.
Yeah.
And you, so you want to see sometimes people do a dance that is completely in character and is lovely.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, because you have to do a wide variety of dance, you have to show a breadth of talent, you will sometimes be asked to play a character you can't play.
Yeah, do something we don't expect. That's the stunner, isn't it?
She's been this sort of bouncy ball of energy, youth,
she's
vigor,
so
and she's charming, and but she's got that sort of children's presenter sort of stage school energy that's amazing. She'd be incredibly in Bugsy Malone, all sort of stuff. You can tell that's the heritage she's come from.
She's not 12.
But she's grown up doing that kind
of
stuff.
I know what you mean.
She's not far from being like a sort of child star performer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this one, I just wrote down, this is mature. This is sexy.
It was very sexy.
It looked like, and both me and our kids have said, this is a Bond, it looked like Bond titles.
Oh, yeah.
It had that James Bond slinkiness to it. And he'd just gone, you can do this.
Uh-huh.
The dress was amazing. The outfits and the styling, the lighting, everything. It had the same thing as Helen had last week.
Yes.
Where you suddenly went, this is a sensational, the look of it and the way you're dancing is, wow, there you are.
She's
and
it's a Broadway hoofer.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I thought it was, I mean, I really, really like her and I've loved watching her dance. This one, I went, oh, I didn't know you had that in you.
God, one of my absolute favourites of hers. So, so good. She did those kind of back bends, you know, when you're, I think you're kind of in hold and then you just kind of hurl yourself back.
I know.
You know, when you do that.
Personally, I don't know that, but I've talked to my good friend Jeanette Marara about this and she's often mentioned that it's really, really hard. You missed your whistle.
The back. Oh, chung. Sorry, God. I was thinking about dancing on a Strictly Come Dancing podcast. Like, shoot me.
Barely worth even mentioning.
No, you're right. If I start with a whistle, I've got to end with a whistle. I can't forget.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, beautiful dancing.
But the back bends she was doing where she's in hold. And then, you know, that kind of in the rumba where you just sort of, you're flung back with the sheer weight of passion that you feel between you and your partner. And just, it'd be almost beyond pro. Like, if she was a banana, she would not get through the EU. The thing we got our country back for, bendy bananas. She, my God, she was just so flexible. She made the most gorgeous shapes. There was a resistance that they always talk about in rumba that I think no other celebs really quite managed to do this series. The kind of the sensuality, the dancing between everything, just a full wow.
It was a demonstration. I said, it not even occurred to me. What you're watching, you talk about sort of resistance and sort of the to and fro of it. You're watching people simulate physics almost. Like, there has to be sort of, like, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's two people dancing.
Yeah.
They've got to bounce off each other like snooker balls. You've got to see sort of when someone moves some way that someone throws themselves back in response
to it. It's sort of the magnets that don't like each other, but do like each other, but don't like each other.
It's a demonstration sort of in physical, using your body of the excitement of it is watching physics.
Yeah.
Is watching.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was thinking when they were being all sexy together. Oh, I love physics.
No,
me.
But I mean, what you're, so people bouncing off each other. It's the same thing that's exciting when you watch, I don't know, martial arts movies and things like that, where there's all the wire work, where people are defying gravity.
Oh, yeah.
They're bouncing around like they somehow their bodies are not limiting them.
You're saying it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes, that kind
of
vibe.
Got
wire work martial arts. But this one really had that feeling, which is why I think I wrote down, oh, it looks like Bond titles, as in you keep thinking, are they on a wire? Is that a trick? Are they underwater?
I know.
It had a lovely, impossible fluidity and simple sort of action and reaction that I thought it was magic.
I know that when you were saying that, I was doing like a really, like, oh, my bit of a twang in my ankle, and that had the most deafening, like, middle-aged ankle click I think I've ever experienced.
This is why we're on the side commentating.
I am a banana. I am a banana. Ow! Anton said it was tremendous, mature. She elevated herself tonight. Craig said it was quality, amazing technique. Shirley and Motsy were both on their feet. Shirley said the choreography was just outside of the box, incredible, exquisite. She hasn't seen Brumba walks like that since probably her time began on the show. Motsy loved the technique, said the legs, the walking, the passion, everything. Ba 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 ba. This is how we rumba. Just, I think, one of the hits of the night. I absolutely, her and the dancer we're about to talk about, Fleur's Samba, just, oh my God, like the two women who least wanted to be in the dance-off just went bananas. They went bananas with it. So Craig gave them a 9. Motsy gave them a 9. Shirley gave them a 10. If you get a Roomba 10 from Shirley, you might as well have had all 10s because that's just like... Mwah, mwah, mwah. When they got the 10 from Shirley, Molly actually screamed like she'd been murdered.
It was a good reaction.
It was
like,
great.
I talk about this week, all emotion. Some of the emotion, sadness. Some of the emotion, absolute, like, crazy elation.
But always emotion because everything's... The stakes are high no matter what your stakes are. Everyone's stakes were like another 10 notches up. Yeah. Anton, only a 9, but it didn't matter. It was the highest score they've had in the competition. And I think... From that, a final needs to have her in it. I just think she pulls out routines like that in a final, then why wouldn't she? I mean, she certainly, maybe she won't win, but she should definitely get to the final. I loved it so much. And now the other dance I loved so much. Fleur and Vito sambered to Hot, Hot, Hot. Normally, a samba to Hot, 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 I just go, oh yeah, I've seen this. I know what this is. I'll probably find it vaguely uncomfortable because the samba rhythm never quite plugs into me and the rhythm, the natural rhythm I possess, guys. Yeah.
You're more like a sort of slow march.
Morris dancing. Dum, no, no, it's Morris dancing. Ching, ching. That's me.
Couple's choice, never been Morris dancing.
Well, there's still time.
Never been a pogo, never been a mosh, never been a nutty train. They're not even trying.
Anyway, so there was like a bit of unnecessary, you know, intro footage of them like hanging out in some dismal, overlit looking club where Vito sort of like had to meet her friends like he's the new boyfriend and like pass her, do the friends like you sort of like task. But they talked quite easily about the bounce action needed in samba and you know, just basically it was all set up for a, okay, I reckon she'll technically do this really well because she knows the judges are watching her like a hawk. I've never really loved a samba on Strictly. I can't think of one where I've gone, oh my God, dance it again. I love that. Like I'm probably like Ant on that respect. I don't love a samba, darling. This one, I think might have been one of my favourite ever dances on Strictly Come Dancing. It was brilliant.
I came in this morning to find you watching it again.
Oh, on the YouTube. Tell them.
Yeah, you were secretly watching it again.
I was.
Which is always a sign. I think that where if a dance makes you want to, the next day, I've got to watch it again.
I know, just another couple of times. It wasn't just once, Joel, by the way. I'd been up for a long time.
Watching the sound.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously, the Fleur thing is power untamed. Like, we need to work out a way to all this incredible power and energy you've got. We need to finesse.
Yeah.
This one looked like a professional dancing a samba. Yeah. It was indistinguishable from that. I thought she looked
They're so matched, aren't they, those two?
Oh my God. The energy of the two of them together is brilliant. Their chemistry is great. Anyway, she was crisp. She was elegant. Words I would never associate with this kind of Latin dance. She was sassy and she was kind of like sa and all that business. Sorry, that's how I, because you know I'm an expert on samba. But also the arms, the finishing, because she looked like she was in a competition dance with the full, you know, the hair scraped up into a bun and the facial expression, the head held exactly as you expect someone who knows what they're doing to hold themselves. She was phenomenal.
This was straight come dancing, not Strictly Come Dancing.
Absolutely.
They have these little moments where you go, oh, this is like watching a dance competition on telly.
Oh my God.
Back in the day. But she was brilliant. You noticed as well that they'd done, you kept saying this, that her silhouette every week, they pulled her hair in.
They always
pull her hair in because
she's got her afro hair.
That's her big trademark, is her big hair.
Yeah.
And they pulled it in.
Or it's just her natural appearance, you know.
They're constantly fiddling with her natural appearance. Weirdly, that had somehow put all the power from her magic hair, Rapunzel style, into the performance. And it was great. I think this was the perfect example of what you said, that managing to harness what she's brilliant at and focus it completely like a laser on this dance.
So good.
Yeah, it was magnificent.
And my favourite thing. So we've noticed it week by week as Fleur has hit the buffers, gone into a dance-off on her birthday, you know, had a bit of a rough time while being one of the strongest dancers in this competition. Motsy has started to become ever so slightly more vocal about perhaps we're just not used to seeing a powerful, physically kind of robust woman on the dance floor. And she's been, and just there's a load of subtext in what she's saying. Yes. She is a woman of colour. You are imposing certain standards on her. And I think the hair's part of it, to be honest, if I'm not reading too much into it. You're trying to impose things on her that aren't there. Look at what is there. It's fucking astonishing.
Yeah.
And Motsy was in tears. She
could barely speak.
Overcome. Because she said, I am so proud of you. She was standing. She was like chin set, trying to stop crying. She was so full of like, yes, girl, for her, because she's watched her trying to push against boundaries that other people, I think, don't have in front of them. And I think this was such a culmination of, like, even with all the things against you. And I'm not talking about, oh, because you're of colour, you're finding it harder. But she's ending up in Dance-Offs when she shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. Yeah. It's too many times. It happens in Strictly Too Much. It happens every series. A woman of colour usually goes first. It's always the same. It was just such a kind of punch through the wall of, yes, look what you can do. And almost like the adversity had made her stronger, work harder.
There was a load of unsaid identification.
Oh, my
and
God,
sort of,
yes.
I was about to say, like, she's sort of mother henning it, but it's not even that. It was more powerful than that.
She
was just going, yeah, it was total, and it felt really cool.
So
and
powerful.
I liked, as a piece of television, I liked Motsy's reaction almost as much as I liked the dance.
Motsy's gold, I think. She's absolute gold
she's
on that
telly,
show.
Isn't she?
She is. I think the more she's kind of like sort of settled into that role, the more she, I mean, she obviously she's always been a confident, sort of powerful presence on screen, but she just kind of, I like how her emotions leak through and she lets them, but she does it in a really televisually satisfying way.
Tiny aside, and obviously every year you always say, this is my favourite Strictly lineup. This is my favourite judging lineup I think
Ooh,
I've ever had.
Yeah.
It suddenly occurred to me, I went, oh,
got
actually,
the balance right with Anton.
It's really nice. Anton, I love, actually, I'm going, oh no, I like them all. They all bring something lovely. I always really like the panels, but sometimes you go, oh, we're going back to, they're going to do their shtick or whatever.
I
got a bit tired of Bruno standing up and things.
Yeah.
This is a lovely panel. I really like the dynamic.
It's perfect. It's the one I always dreamed of the minute they got Anton in to guest judge, when people have been saying for years, oh, come on, he should be on the panel. Let's do it. It's starting to look a bit incongruous that he's always getting a not as good female dancer. It's kind of a running joke. It's like, how many more times are you going to make this joke? But the panel suddenly balanced when he sat on that end of it. It really worked. And I love Bruno.
Yeah.
And he was on Blankety Blank as well, straight after.
Standing up all the bloody time.
Standing up all the bloody time.
Make
like he
Bruno
can't help
sit
himself.
Down.
Exactly. But I really, really, I think you're right. This is the perfect balance.
And the perfect thing of seeing a sensational dance like that and then seeing it ping off the panel. And the panel, the thing why the panel I think is working so well is that almost everything I've been thinking, they articulate really well. And I go, yes, yes, that's what I wanted to say.
That's right.
Their criticism's really solid. And Motsy's almost unworded, unverbal, unsaid delivery of that story was perfect.
And it happened again later after Hamza's dance.
Yeah.
And again, in a powerful way that watching, sitting in my lovely white privilege, I don't think about these things sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's just there as a gentle but firm reminder, look what we're doing. This is actually really important.
It's cool. It's part of the Strictly brand, and she's bang
so
on.
So lovely. Shirley said, you're really listening to all the constructive criticism. You've really mastered your craft. You've got the power of the control now. And it's one of the best sambas we've seen on the show. And then Anton said, I've done some sambas in my time. It never looked like that with Anne Widdecombe, which is very funny. But he had no words, just perfect. And Craig gave her a 9, everyone else 10s, their highest score, and rightly so, topping the leaderboard. And she kind of can't believe it, because I think she's kind of used to doing giving absolutely everything and then just always having a little knockback. And this week it's like she finally got to be on Strictly Come Dancing and experience what it's really like to do a good dance and then get praised for it. It's lovely. It just, all the shit fell away and it was just her being the best at dancing.
There's been a bit of an edit there. She had to go off and watch Fleur do her dance again on YouTube.
Shut up!
Tiny break people can watch
Feeling
Fleur.
hot. Da, yes. da. Sorry.
Just like her.
Now we have to severely change the tone because the next dance we're talking about, obviously, is Will and Nancy, who did their waltz to Three Times a Lady. This, for me, is when the whole show kind of, there'd been obviously some emotion already. We'd had a bit of, not light relief, but like a bit of kind of just all out joy with Fleur. This was really, I mean, it was really emotional. It was meant to be. It was Will. In any other week, it might have slightly irritated me, wheeling out the big guns emotionally, talking about losing his dad. But this week, somehow, it all just sort of came together.
Yeah.
He lost his dad right at the beginning of the pandemic. And without going into too much miserable detail, we all know what that means. Yeah, I've lost my dad, but it wasn't in the pandemic. That was bad enough. Those people who lost people lost them and they just didn't see them. They waved them off to hospital and then that's it. It's very hard to have closure and to grieve and do all those things when you've, I mean, it's unimaginable. So they mentioned it in the VT beforehand because it's pertinent to the dance. It's the song that his dad used to sing to his mum, already incredibly emotional. So again, it's that thing about the emotional baggage and like how to do a dance when it means
carrying that
almost too much. He did a really beautiful dance. They kept it really simple. There were a few CGI chandeliers at the end because they did that brilliant camera angle where they tilted up.
Yeah.
And obviously, in a TV studio, if you haven't been in one, when you look up, it's just like literally like an upside down forest of kind
it's
of
an
metal
oil rig
and wires
hanging from the ceiling,
and,
isn't it?
And lights and cables. It's crazy. It looks nuts. So they just did that beautiful thing where they made the ceiling look like a kind of an opera house or Blackpool almost.
Good CGI. No alligators. Nice.
Genuinely, really good use of it this
week. Don't just do nipples. Do the top of an
although do save a bit in the budget for the nipples because they were spectacular.
Anyway, so beautiful dance.
Back to the emotion. It was a beautiful dance, and the judges responded in kind. Technically, I think he seemed to do really well. Craig only said something about it slightly lacking the swing and sway you'd expect with a waltz, but just otherwise. He did his family proud. Couldn't fault it. Obviously, it was mostly just loaded with emotion. A lot of the remarks were just, oh, no, you were brilliant, you were brilliant. I don't think they were saying that just because, but I think they kept the technical stuff to a minimum because there was another bigger thing in the
you
room.
Didn't want
to
say you...
It
would
sorry
feel
about
stupid to say what was on your mind that meant you weren't focused on your heel turns, because they know. He did the thing, as we said earlier on with Kim, where the emotional baggage was too much for the dance to hold.
The discipline here,
they matched perfectly, and he was holding it in. But obviously, it's really strange. Will, we've sort of said before, we've said it might be a little bit like he's a blokey bloke and all that sort of stuff.
He's
an actor and things. He's obviously incredibly sensitive, unafraid to cry on TV, though he apologised to his kids, said, don't worry, I'm all right.
Dad's all right. It's okay.
All of which I found really, really moving. But he was holding it in. There was this great moment where he went towards Tess and he was obviously in enormous distress. And
he had
a look in his eyes where his eyes were a bit wide and he was trying to hold in emotion. And he looked towards her, and because he's quite tall and she was quite tall. It looked like he was going to nut her. And I thought, it's really interesting the way that men express emotion, that sometimes when they're really overwhelmed, it looks like they're going to get violent.
I think it's just like he was paralysed, wasn't he? Because he was like, if I open this, it all comes out and I don't want to be that guy. I'm just going to try. But it was incredibly affecting, wasn't it?
It was all pouring out of him at the same time. And you're going, there's a really funny thing that you read men, especially big men, who get emotional as dangerous.
I know, sometimes.
Is he going to get
I mean, it's
bit,
all about the context, but still it was sort of, there was an edge.
Really interesting thing to watch, sort of a large, extremely sort of masculine and very assured man crying and being very open about that. I thought it was lovely. I was really, really moving.
It was incredibly moving. Also, just in terms of technical stuff, and obviously the scores going on to reflect it, Shirley said his footwork was fantastic. Anton said his top line was so improved. I think as a ballroom from the start of the competition to now, he's clearly come on in leaps and bounds. Craig gave him a 9. 10s from Motsi and Shirley and a 9 from Anton. But obviously all the talk today, last night, was about, you know, that response and then the absolutely barnstorming kind of rescue Nancy made, when clearly I think obviously after the dance, you know what you want to say afterwards. You've got it all planned out.
Yeah.
You go up and see Claudia and, you know, there's probably a bit of a run through like, oh, I'm going to ask you this. Do you want to say something about this? We've got a message from so-and-so. And he obviously was going to say something about this is for all the people, et cetera, et cetera. And Nancy, who obviously is not talking in her first language, absolutely floored me. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
And she took them. I mean, metaphorically took the mic because he just couldn't even talk. She was crying. He was trying not to cry, but was just really, really losing it completely. And she said, we just wanted to dedicate this dance to all the people who've lost someone. I'm feeling really emotional now and couldn't say goodbye.
Yeah.
And it was
amazing.
Just overwhelming.
It was proof that one of the things that's really interesting about watching the development of these couples, I've got my throat as well, is that the partnering doesn't stop when the dance stops.
No.
That this is a partnering thing, and her partner was unable to do it, so she stepped up and did it. And, and Nancy is a lovely energy in the show anyway.
She's fantastic.
But this was a moment of just dignity. She went, he can't do it, I'm going to step up and do it. And it was like he tripped over in the dance and she picked him up. It was a catch from a lift or something. And she caught
him
and did straight down the lens, did that thing. And that she looked, that dress of hers is beautiful as well. She looked brilliant.
She looked phenomenal.
She was all poised and fantastic. And thought, oh, you've done your dancing bit, your job's finished. And she went up, she did the... I will speak for you. I will say what you want to say to the nation.
And perfectly.
Absolutely perfectly. And in this week of all weeks, when our light end shows, as you've been saying I've not dealt with that grief and that trauma as well as this.
It's such a stark contrast. So obviously, I mean, I don't advise you watch. You won't see anything you're not expecting to see if you're not already watching it. But Matt Hancock, you know, former health secretary, a lot of decisions made on his watch catastrophically ended in actual death for real human beings. And he's on currently on a reality show, you know, eating funny foods that we don't want to eat and being in the jungle and having fish guts poured on his head and trying to rehabilitate his image by being matey and blokey around a campfire. And that is not making me think good things about him. You know, if we're thinking about that time, then let's do it like this. Let's talk about real human cost of what happened. Let's not try and wash it all away with some kangaroo testicles because it's not working. And this was the most beautiful, honest dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
We might not like the word, but we've all been dealing with trauma for a good nearly 3 years now. This is the way to do it. This is the way to talk to people about this stuff, not try and brush it away with some light entertainment nonsense on the other channel.
But I think that's important. You said light entertainment nonsense. The point is that light entertainment got us through this.
Yes, absolutely.
As in, these guys, when they went into isolation for 9-10 weeks to make this show during that long, dark winter of lockdown, and we went, oh, thank God you're here. They were doing the job of people who go out to entertain troops in war zones. They were troopers. That's what they are. These people go out, and that it might seem silly, but we need this. This is Virilin or Ends for us. Like, this is, in the dark times, you need your entertainers, and your entertainers work really hard to do this. And this felt like the entertainers were saying, that really hurt for you guys, and we were here for you, and we understand it hurt.
It feels like a collective coming together, not a weird bullying ritual that makes everyone leaves a sour taste in everyone's mouth.
Or reputation management or anything.
Yeah,
it didn't feel selfish. It felt that was a classic. I mean, what household did you grow up in? ITV or BBC?
Yeah,
a classic BBC public service communal collective thing of saying, this is all serious, and we're now going to do the a massive public service thing of saying, we all went through a massive trauma, massive grief, like doing the Queen's funeral or something. And the ITV version is, don't worry, it's all over now. Da, 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 da. And you go, it's not.
They misunderstood tone, the audience, everything, I think, on that channel.
Nancy's reading of it and the production team's reading of it and Tony and Will's reading of this week were absolutely perfect.
Oh, I just loved them for it, and I loved her for saying that. Brilliant. So we came finally to the closing of the show. Hamza and Yavita did their couple's choice to a track called Jerusalema. And it was kind of made incredibly poignant, one by the beautiful VT with his family.
Yeah.
Where again, taking Yavita home to meet his family, it felt like, oh, I hope they get married. I have no idea if that's on the cards, but it was so lovely. His family seemed like a really lovely gang.
Yeah.
You know, they wore it lightly, but they talked about, you know, he came here when he was 8. He didn't speak English.
Sydney's migrants. And
just beautiful kind of energy.
Get more strictly diversity, strictly value, strictly saying, strictly declaring relentlessly this kind of world it would like us to live in.
Yes, yeah, it's
kindness and
absolutely
teaching and helping and pulling people up, not putting them down.
Yeah, we're all going to do this together, aren't we? Rather than like, well, not you and not you and not you. There's no exclusion in Strictly. It does feel like, in the nicest way, in a way that I'm sure people would say was woke and lefty and liberal, they're reminding us, like, all of these people who are entertaining you, they come from different places.
Yeah.
They have different backgrounds, different abilities physically. But isn't it great? We can all just get together and do this. This is what we need now. We need togetherness and compassion and all that hippie shit. I love that hippie shit.
Strictly is the only vote-off show where every week I want no one to go home.
I know, me too.
Because the values are always about saying, hey, we're doing this together. They keep talking about the Strictly family. You can see that when they're all supporting each other, whenever it goes back to the... if they've had harsh judgments and they'll go up, first thing Claudia will say is, everyone up here was cheering.
I know.
It's all about saying, we're all going to pull together for the collective good. It is a total... It's the most communist thing I've ever seen.
It's the most communist thing.
It's basically Pinko Trotsky rubbish. It's absolute nonsense. But those values, I think, are really, really warm and really nice. And especially when you're feeling a little bit sort of wintry and you want to cuddle up and be cozy, Strictly gives you that. There's no harshness.
Nothing does it like this, no.
Yeah, and even their chosen pantomime judge, even their sort of nasty Nigel, their mean judge is really nice and clearly.
Oh, he's still got a soft underbelly. You only have to tickle him and he rolls over.
Its values are through it like Blackpool Rock that you might have at Blackpool.
Nice, very much. Thank you. It was that VT just kind of really finished me off. It was so lovely.
Yeah.
All it was just people saying we really love each other, but it kind of made me want to gibber like a big, big baby. His dad was wearing a T-shirt with the two of them printed on the front, which is like the beautiful incongruity of like a kind of silly, tacky T-shirt on this lovely, quite dignified older man.
Sydney's doctor.
Oh, my God. God, that in itself like made me really weak.
You've just had a bunch of stuff where there was let's talk about sort of, you've had two or three dances where people who have been maybe rejected are suddenly being accepted.
Yes,
where there was the bond, the Sicily bond between Motsy and Fleur and herself. I feel for you, I can barely speak. And then you'd had Will saying, "I lost my father." So you said family, all the way through it. And then you get to see a lovely, supportive, happy family.
Wonderful.
And you can't help but link all those things and go, they talk about the Strictly family and things. It was all about communal effort and making the best of yourself.
And it's how we all feel when we look at our children. Our Hamza's mum at one point said, "I look at, is it Jahamza? His name's Jahamza, isn't it? I look at, you know, Jahamza now and think, this that little baby," and there's a picture of him 2 days old or something. It's like, and I can't believe the incredible person he's grown into. And it, you know, you don't have to have had children to feel that about you know, the people you love, but like anyone who's held their baby and then looked around 10 seconds later and gone, "How the hell did you get that tall?" It was so affecting, so lovely.
Simple family stories. And a simple family story broadcast into a show that goes into front rooms full of families all watching it together.
Yeah.
It's really simple, powerful telly, and it's hard to pull off. They do it brilliantly.
Yeah. And then if that wasn't enough, it became obvious in rehearsal. They had this choreographical patience who came in and choreographed their sort of African...
It was Afrobeat stuff, and it was...
Afrobeat routine, kept it authentic.
Javis doesn't know.
No, exactly. So... Although it was really sweet. Motsy was saying, like, "You need a DNA test." It was, like, completely delightful. Again, what an inclusive, nice thing to say to perhaps a woman who might have been worried, like, "Oh, am I? Should I be? You know, is this okay?
Am I appropriating?"
So bloody brilliant. All of it brilliant. That choreography, Patience's choreography, was outstanding.
So good.
Almost to the point where the music sort of ceased to matter and I was just totally lost in the two of them.
Yeah.
Anton mentioned, like, can you teach me how you do those lifts? But genuinely, that looked like gravity stopped being a thing every time he picked her up and flipped her over and twirled her around. It's like, hang on a second. Like, how is he doing this and making it look like he's just throwing a paper, like tissue, into a waste paper basket?
You forget. If you're the male dancer, you're the non-trained dancer. Doing those lifts is incredibly dangerous and nerve-wracking.
Really hard.
But it looks like what happens certainly with Hamza every week, and certainly with this dance particularly, The show opened and closed with the ultimate dances for those dancers.
Yes, for sure.
With Ellie's one at the beginning and then Hamza's at the end.
And a couple's choice,
And it looked like the thing that makes it possible for him to do this stuff isn't skill, it's just joy.
Oh, he is.
As in, he fills up with joy.
Said.
And
yeah.
She can be propelled into the air just through the energy of his happiness or his glee at his capabilities.
Yeah.
You're trying to work out how it's done. And the answer is, I think they're just so happy that they float. I don't know. It's
brilliant. But that must be it. He's like one of those portable phone chargers. Like, if you brought him with you on a night out and your phone was running low, I swear to God, he'd just smile at your phone and it would go 100% battery. Anyway, Shirley said it was truly amazing. He had fluidity in the changes of pace. Again, they've mentioned this with him before, that he can change the speed and rhythm at which he's dancing without it looking like he's making any effort at all. It's so effortless and beautiful. Anton said he was sunshine. Your body does ridiculous things. Teach me how you do the lifts. Craig said his timing got out just at the end, which I think I saw too, but like didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because it was a second. He said dancing is your language. And Motsy was just like an absolute puddle. And she said, and I think Oti has said this before on the show, when she got to dance a kind of an African routine with possibly Bill, I can't remember, one of her partners. She got to do a proper sort of like a Afrobeat thing with the costume and everything and the instrumentation and the singing. And she was just in tears saying, I didn't expect to see this on Strictly. We don't expect to see ourselves.
Yeah.
And that is a complete callback to Fleur and just how race is portrayed on TV, if it's portrayed at all. If it's just part of the party, everyone together, no differences. It was clearly such an emotional thing for her to see, something she grew up with for the first time on British TV, really. This show is the first show to ever reflect that back at the kind of Afro-Caribbean population of this country, they get to see their culture on a mainstream Saturday night show.
And she had seconds to say that. And she said it.
And she did.
And she managed to get in the thing about saying so many of these dances have their roots in African culture.
Yes!
That brilliant thing of saying, oh, you got to... It felt like that moment where they were, where I think it was Craig was explaining about tango traditionally being having two men in it.
Yeah.
That your diversity, your woke... point scoring
is
just admitting history. It's just about talking about, it's openly talking about the history of this art form.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. I thought, and they
so
all,
beautiful.
They have like six words in probably not in their first language, these people sometimes, to explain it. And they just nail it. It's brilliant.
I know. I absolutely love it when that happens. Something went wrong with the scoring because Craig, I thought, saying that you mistimed one step. Mm. Would mean a point off because this was a 10 dance. Yeah. There is no effing question about that. Those lifts, rhythm, that timing, no question. He gave them an 8.
Yeah.
I just don't know why. Maybe I'd like to go back to him and ask what the hell he was thinking.
Massive pantomime racist.
Exactly. No, not at all.
He's not.
But no, 8 points didn't make any sense. Everyone else, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Maybe he's still saying, I'd like more journey here. And Craig is someone who's always encouraging the journey, as in saying, as late as possible, I'll bring him. I don't think he's given a 10 paddle until after Blackpool anyway, so it's fine.
I suppose not.
I think he's got a nought. I think his one's got from nought to 9.
Yeah, sometimes not till the final. I think they just don't make him a 10 paddle because they know it'll just sit there gathering dust.
It'll go off.
It's another thing for someone to polish.
It'll curdle like milk.
Go off. I mean, obviously, you know, I think Hamza remains the favourite, not least because, yes, he's the most surprising great dancer this show's ever produced. He's the Susan Boyle, if you like, of this show. But he's also, I can't think of a nicer person on TV at the moment. He's just a sunny, gorgeous, genuine, down-to-earth, incredibly, just kind of authentic-seeming human being.
He is, of course, 100 years of the BBC in one person.
Oh, my God, he is.
The perfect person.
He's all the shows in one guy.
In one.
Okay, so that's the end of the show in terms of Strictly Come Dancing. The leaderboard thus, Fleur, 39, up at the top, followed closely by Will and Hamza, both on 38. Scooch down to the bottom. There's a load of 31s, Kim, Tyler and Ellie, all on 31. And then obviously Tony on 24.
Yeah.
So, you know, cut far adrift, as per usual, from the rest of the pack, which, let's face it, they're all so brilliant now.
Yeah.
Of course, he's going to be. As it turned out, Dance-Off is announced. To my surprise, shock and horror, Tony in the Dance-Off.
Yeah.
But then also immediately, and obviously he's against Tyler, so there wasn't like any doubt about what was going to happen. But I genuinely don't think that's why he pulled out. I think Tony withdrew because he's clearly, like, his body has been, I mean, he's been hit by a truck.
He's at the edge of what he can do.
8 weeks in a freaking row. And it's like, I know the guy used to be a footballer, but like, he's older now. And this is just too much. Like, it's the joints, okay?
Yeah.
I will say now, as an older lady in the waning years of my 40s, your joints cannot take that stuff. They just can't. The constant pounding and the jive is the one that's either going to make you or break you,
I think. People say that. I know people who are very, very fit, very, very active people who sort of say that it's as you get older, things like running and things become more difficult.
People stop running and start doing aquarobics.
Yeah, you start looking for things that support
the joints. Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're fit or you're trying hard. Eventually, your body stops being able to take the impact.
Have you ever met any like really, really fit people? Perhaps people who sort of do this kind of thing for a living? You ever come across one of those?
Well, actually, my very good friend, Gerette Malrara, told me that when she got transferred over to It Takes Two, she was saying she was turning 40 and she was really wise.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit like being a racehorse or something. It's all to do with your...
They shoot horses, don't they?
Totally. I film that dance. It's perfect. But she was feeling like, I need to transition into some other form of career where I can use other talent because you don't get forever. Like being a sports person, being a dancer, you run out of a road at some point. You can't compete at the peak of your ability.
Yeah, you have to retire when you're stupidly young because otherwise things start going snap and twang and ow!
It's not fun to watch. It becomes distressing to watch.
Genuinely painful. So we have, we're a Tony down. He went exactly at the right, well, not at the right time, because obviously last week I was whinging that he was still here. This is definitely a good outcome. Not that Tony's injured. I hope he mends well and quickly. But in terms of what I want to see
the story
for the rest of the show, I'm so glad he's not going to Blackpool.
And dignified and cool from him. I think I know
really, really cool.
To sort of say, look, I know the public are enjoying this number. I think also the first time you're in the vote office is a kind of way of saying, well, the public have maybe they've had their fun.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Something clicked in his head because he knows the public's been behind him all the way. And this is just, this is the right way for things to go down. And I'm glad that the outcome is that we get Blackpool with all of those incredible dancers.
And for Tony's sake, who was really entertaining, and again, as always, as Shirley said, the spirit of Strictly, exactly what we're here for, he didn't go out on a shit dance. That was fun. I enjoyed that one. I keep being surprised how much I enjoy his one. It wasn't of the calibre of the other dances.
It wasn't his worst dance, let's put it that way.
But he didn't go out having just absolutely disastrously ballsed up a Viennese waltz or something.
Yeah.
He went out doing something he's done for the rest of it, doing one of the being the fun dancer. But before Blackpool, which is perfect, really well judged.
I know. And now I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to Blackpool so much now, knowing it's just going to be a bunch of amazing routines and no like people dangling awkwardly from the ceiling in place of great dancing. I'm enjoying the dancing so much now, and they are so good.
We've pruned the Widdicombe in time.
I know, pruning the Widdicombe is always the manoeuvre that needs to happen.
One of the Strictly, one of the mighty magical rituals of Strictly.
Do you want another Swanee whistle just for luck before we go? Anything else you'd like to say about your good friend Jeanette Manrara?
Well, actually, I must admit, this week, a very, very enjoyable Strictly session. Really enjoyed watching the show. And also, it's been a very, very big week.
Go
for
on,
me,
I'm ready.
I got to meet my very good friend, Jeanette Manrara.
Big one to finish. Well done, Joe. No, well done. Good on you.
That noise, there's no whistle at all. It just naturally happens when I mention it.
And one for luck. So we're very excited, as you might be able to tell, by the idea of Blackpool next week. I'm genuinely full of glee. I love it when they go up there. They usually end up, obviously, they're all staying in hotels.
School trip!
There's usually some kind of disco snogging on the dance floor. Like, I can't wait to hear what happens. Yeah. I'm looking forward to all the salacious stories in the press about that. No, I'm not. Of course I'm not. I'm just here for the dance. Anyone can tell that. By listening to the way I talk about the show. We are still on Twitter, just about clinging on, although it's sounding like it's turning into a bit of a toxic waste dump over there. We might even find ourselves on Mastodon next week. Who knows? Let's wait and see which way the wind is blowing. But until then, we are at Twitter, at Curse of Strictly. Get it right, Julia.
CFAX, page 839.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on Prestel,
and
Oracle.
MySpace.
Yeah, but Friendsry United.
Friendsry United. That was the original, wasn't it? The original and best. Bring it back. We will see and or talk at you next week. But until then, please, for God's sake,
don't stop dancing!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.